Simen Chavches Beis, page 93. It's Chavches Beis because it's the second chiluk of this very basic Torah, the Inyan of Achna, Havdala, and Hamtaka. We've been talking about the side of Chashmal. Page 93. Imarav Doimel Amalach. The Gemara Moed Katan gives us an extremely difficult condition, a prerequisite for whom we could receive, from whom we can receive Torah. Certain qualification of a Rebbe that is very, very mysterious. We're not sure what it means, and there's a great deal written about it. The Gemara says, "Marav doimel amalach Hashem tzavokah." This is kabel Torah mipiv. That if the Rebbe, if the Rav is doimel, resembles a malach of Hashem, then you could receive Torah from him. We don't know what a malach is. We never met a malach. Harav Doimel Malach Hashem. So there's a lot of jokes about that. What does that mean? Harav Doimel Malach Hashem Sevakos. Then you can learn from such a person. And that's the Gemara's darshaning of pasuk. The pasuk is from the last of the Nevi'im, from Malachi. You see, it's brought down the Gemara right at the beginning of the Biurim. The Gemara is brought down in the pasuk. Omer Chazal, Ma'ay Dechsiv, Kisiv Seikoyin Yishmu Das, V'Toy Yivak Shem Yipiyu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzavo Kesu. The lips of the Kohen, Yishmu Das, preserve or guard Das, V'Toy Yivak Shem Yipiyu, the Kahanim, the teachers of Torah, V'Toy Yivak Shem Yipiyu, Ki Malach, when can you hear Torah from a Rav? Ki malach Hashem tzavokei su. And Harav doyim l'malach. Yivakshu ter mipiv. Yim lav al yivakshu ter mipiv. That's the Gemara in Moed Katan. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh taught. Yim Harav, back on top. Yim Harav doyim l'malach. So the word malach, he says, Yim oisi is ki'ilem. Malach, an angel, is the letters ki'ilem. Ki'ilim, and ilim, of course, is someone who can't speak, who doesn't speak. Somebody who is mute. Ki'ilim. One of the midas of Hashem is Baruch. The Gemara tells us on the pasuk Micha Moicha, Be'ilim Hashem, who is as powerful as Hashem, Micha Moicha, Be'ilim, among the gods or the powerful ones, who is like Hashem. So Chazal say, Al Tikri, don't say this. Ba'elim el be'ilmim. Who is as silent as Hashem? Shemeach ha'posa, that Hashem is constantly being insulted in the world. And Ve'enu Meshav, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't. He could take care of anybody if he wanted to. So Hashem has this midah of being silent. And the Baal Shem is saying that Malach is Oisius Ki'ilim, like someone who can't speak. So Im Harav Darmelo Malach, Him Oisius Ki'ilim, silent. If there's a Rebbe who understands this side that we've been learning of Chashmal, of Shtika, Liyos Chashmal, as we learned, that initially there's that silence, hachna, that he doesn't begin right away, that he knows everything and understands everything, but there's a humility and there's a silence of hachna. And only after the chash, and only after the silence, then comes mal. Mal, we learn, means to speak. Miyamal al grus Hashem. So Imar Rab Doim Malach, Him oisis ki ilim liyos chash mal. Shehu chash, that he is silent. Ad shekores umal haklipas. Why the silence? The initial silence is because first there's that stage of Hachna and Havdalah, and that means that he is silent until he cuts away. Mal is also Lashon of Mila, till he cuts away the klipas, all that doesn't belong. To be careful of any of the chitzonim, of anything from the outside, meaning any of the koiches of tumah, of impurity, of haughtiness, arrogance, and so on. Oz tari yevukash mipiyu. From such a rav, from such a rabbi, who is Daim Lamalach, that he knows how to be silent. Hachna and Havdalah to separate between the Toiv and Ra, between himself and the Klipas. Then Tariyah Vukash Mipiyu. Ki Oz Nichnas Belev Hashemeya. Because that kind of Torah, the Torah that comes from such a Malach, that comes from such a Rebbe, that Torah penetrates into the heart of the student, of the one who's listening. Ulpara v'rav, as we learned in the earlier Torahs of the Baal Shem, a while back, we learned last year, we were talking about the Mishnah in Ovis, about David HaMelech and Achitofel, that he called him his Rebbe. So there we learn that depending upon who says the Torah will determine whether or not that Torah has the ability lifreis v'lirbeis. Whether that Torah will have children. A Torah having children means that the Torah will bear fruit. A person can go to a shmooze and go to a lecture, to go to a shiur, and he hears something very, very wonderful, something very beautiful. But that whatever he hears, it didn't bear any children, didn't have any children, didn't go weiter. In other words, it didn't lead to any significant changes in his or her life. There was no offspring, there was no outcome from that learning. A person can go year after year after year, and there's no outcome. There's no toldos, there's no payers, there are no children. It's the Torah that was taught, but the Torah somehow is sterile. Even the Torah is so deep and so beautiful, but it didn't bear children. And the person just leaves, and everything is the same. Now, there could be a number of factors that are contributing to that, not just the Rebbe. Obviously, a person who's hearing Torah has to be a clay kibble to receive the Torah. The relationship between a Rebbe and a student is mashpi and makabel. There's a husband and a wife. And there needs to be also a clay to receive. The student is that bechina of the wife. But what the Baal Shem is saying, what we learned earlier last year, is that there is a Torah that's very sterile. That as beautiful as that Torah is, it doesn't multiply. It doesn't bear fruit. It doesn't change people. The Baal Shem is saying that when the Rebbe is like a malach, when he has this koach of shtika, of being silent, mila, chash, the silence, the achna, the Havdalah of cutting away, of doing tshuva before he teaches, cutting away things that are not good, and then mal, chash mal, and then he speaks, he teaches. Then the Torah is nichnas b'lev hashemeya upara v'rava. Then that Torah that this Rebbe teaches, it could be that it's the Torah itself, might not be. The lesson that he's teaching, the shiur that he's giving, might not be that advanced or that significant. There might not be any chidushim. Nevertheless, that Torah bears fruit. It changes people's lives. It's part of a Rava. It has children. That Torah has children. U'bezeh yuvan, and we arranged all of the that we were learning this past year just to come that it should work out with the parasha. U'bezeh yuvan lech lecha me'artzecha. And now we can understand what it says in the parasha. Lech lecha me'artzecha, v'ladcha mi'beis avicha. That Hashem is Baruch, the first thing that Hashem is Baruch says to Avraham Avinu is Lech lecha me'artzecha, to go away from your land, from your birthplace, from Beis Avichem, for your father's house. So Baal Shem taught, She is Shrachek mi Sholosh Bechinas Hanal. That one should be Mishrachek from all that is impure, from the Klipas, by using these three Bechinas. These three stages of hachna, of the silence, the humility, which we spoke about in the last Torah. Havdalah, once a person is silent and he looks honestly at himself, then he's able to see what doesn't belong in his life. And then Havdalah means to try, but to at least ask Hashem to help, to tshuva, to separate, the Havdalah, to separate what's wrong from his life. Vam toke, and then that sweetening of being able to use this midah, to use this part of his life in a way that's positive, that's holy. Hachna, havdol, and ham toke. So lech lecha me'artzecha, u'mimeladecha mi'beis avicha. Shebe'er ma'rizal, so the Toldos Yaakov Yosef says that my Rebbe the Baal Shem Tov explained, ki mitzad artzius, Mitzad Artzius is that which is called Eretz. Artzius. Artzius Gashmius, all that is coarse and mundane. V'achius Achaymer, again, the coarseness and the thickness of physical life. That's called Artzicha. Artzicha. Achirus means when something is like polluted. It's not clean. He means that artzius v'achirus achaymer. The artzius lech lecha me'artzecha. The artzius and the achirus of chaymer. He means that artzius v'achirus achaymer v'aklipas. Nimshach. Next page, Gassus Aruach. Artzacha brings a person to Gassus Ruach, to haughtiness, to conceit. Artzacha blocks a person's vision from seeing that he's not God, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is God. Artzicha takes away that clarity of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So lech lecha me'artzicha. L'kach es hiroi, therefore Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, and this is the first thing that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, is lech lecha me'artzicha. Go away from this arrogance, from this haughtiness. Go away from this gassus, from this gaiva, that is a result of your being so megusham, so completely preoccupied with physical things. Lech lecha me'artzecha, v'yovel hachna. Because only if you go away from Artzacha can you come to the midah of Hachna, of that humility, of giving up yourself, surrendering your ego to to be an Eved Hashem. So Hashem first tells Avraham Avinu, you have to go away from that. You want to be a Jew, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. You have to go away from Artzecha. V'yov Lachno. And then is Umi Morladitecha, which literally means from your birthplace, but from the one who gave birth to you. Shuterach Oyved Avodah Zarah Sherish HaKlipas. Terach, his father, Avraham Avinu's father, was an Oyved Avodah Zarah, of course, and that's the Klipas. When a person first engages in the Avodah Hachnor, then he's able to see in himself traces of Avodah Zarah. Traces of Avodah Zarah. That means that he's not serving Hashem. That he's serving himself. And all the things that Chazal say is, it's ki'ilu, a person called koyes, if a person loses his temper, it's kavod Avodah Zarah, and so on, other things. One's birthplace, the terach, means certain inclinations, certain predispositions that a person has from the time that he's in the world, that he has certain midas, that he feels that he came to the world with these midas. That's called moladitecha, your birthplace. So each and every one of us is suffering from the Eitz Hadaas Tov V'Ra, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So in each and every one of us, there's an Avraham Avinu and there's a Terach. Oiv Dei Avodah Zarah Ho Yuav Oseinu. Chila Oiv Dei Avodah Zarah Ho Yuav. That we come from the birthplace where we come from is Terach Avi Avraham. That's where we come from. It means that a person by being in this world, just by being born into the world and growing up in the world, has from the time that he's in the world, he has certain pieces of terach. Of course, the essence of a person is Avraham Avinu, who's called the Shvatar. But the klipas are peels. A klipa means a peel. A peel is not the essence, but it's annoying. It gets in the way. If you try to eat the orange straight, it's not going to be so pushed. A klipa is a klipa. That klipa is called terach. So after a person goes to the humbling stage of hachnah, to look at himself honestly, in a humble and real way, so then he's able to recognize, you know, I have some terach stuff going on in my life. I have some avodah zarah going on in my life. Avodah zarah means, doesn't mean that you bow down to idols. It means, I'm serving something other than God, which is mostly nowadays is just self-serving. We're not interested in statues and stuff like that. That's called melatcha. Shuterach oyved avodah zarah shar shaklipas. V'yesh koach ha'av b'ben. There's such a thing as genetics, as DNA, and yesh koach ha'av b'ben. The fact that you come from such a place, from terach, means that you have that in you. You have there are klipas. There's a koach of tuma. There are klipas. Yesh koach ha'av b'ben.
That you have it in you, or we all have terach in. Is it the original terach?
I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking about all of us.
No, but I'm saying is the idea that we all have our unique terach from our parents, or we all have mamish.
Well, I'm not talking terach. About terach himself. I'm not talking about terach himself. From the parents and from where one comes from. Each person has his own. Does it go? Is it traced back to terach? Okay, you know they could find. I think there was a lady in America this week that she holds herself to be an Indian. because she wanted to get ahead in her political career and so on. I don't know too many pratim about it, so my wife fills me in at night like, oh, there's something I need to be careful about. So she told me there's this politician, it's a mius, that she's been using for years her Indian ancestry as a way of being able to push a certain liberal agenda, and she's made herself into some chashuva because of this sheker. So she was able to come up with some genetic testing that shows she's like 1,000th Indian, which almost every guy in America has something like that, you know, a little nakuda of Indian kite because of whatever took place between his great grandmother and some chief of the Cherokees. So there's something of that in many Americans, you know. So she's gavan, I can't say Indian from this. She has an akuda of an Indian in her, and after years and years of talking about herself, Kilo, she's like, you know, she lives in a teepee or something, and she's and she's been suffering from discrimination as a they don't call them Indians anymore. They call Native American. She's been suffering as a Native American all her life. She's gone through so much because of being a Native American. So that's where things are now, that they have genetic testing to find out if there's any reason why you should feel that you're suffering. That convince yourself that you're suffering because, you know, so imagine like you can have this, so now you can have a guy that finds out that he's 1,000th of a Jew and he's going to feel like he's oppressed. And anybody that says, if someone says to them, how come you didn't do your homework? He says, you know, you're an anti-Semite. That's, you see where things are going with this. This is like, it's mamish crazy. So is there a nekuda of terach? I guess if you cut somebody open, you could find you could do that. If you do proper genetic testing, there's a terach. But that's obviously not what the Baal Shem is talking about. Nor is he concerned with it. He's talking about what's more immediate in a person's life, right? David? He's not talking about terach. That's not the point. It means that every person has. Becheti, the Dovid Melech says, Becheti Ramasni Imi, which means that I was conceived in sin. Mr. Tani explains that the parents who are together, B'shas Maisa, when the child is brought to the conception of that child, that the child was conceived, that they have certain desires and inappropriate thoughts, that contributes to the difficulties that a child has in life. We're affected by these things. Jew B'etzim is a very gentle thing. It's a very delicate being. And the kedusha of the kedusha of the child is affected by what was going on at that time when the parents were together. That doesn't mean that dooms anybody to anything, but it means that there's a certain klipa, there's a peel, a shell that comes from the house, and it's not only from that time of conception. But it's also from the behavior of the parents and who the parents were and how they acted. So Avraham Avinu is not the only one who had a terach, right? That was his terach. That was his father. But we're affected by where we come from. That's called mimolardecha. That's called moledes. So that, of course, requires the avoda of havdalah, separating, havdalah. To weed out. Not everything that we got from our parents is ideal. But I'm not talking here just about parents. Or blaming parents. I'm talking about finding the klipas in oneself. They come from terach, meaning from
that place in the world of terach or something?
From one's parents and grandparents, and from one's being, what the Baal Shem Tov said, that in Artsakha, this world is a place that's filled with klipas. And this is our birthplace. And the birthplace, whether you want to call it nature, nurture, all that stuff, this is the birthplace of a human being. And the birthplace of a human being is such that from the time that we're ready, Little kids, we have klipas, we have all kinds of peels and shells inside. from the time that we're kids. How we picked it up. Again, I want you to understand, it doesn't mean only parents or there's something bad. That's what the Baal Shem is saying. It's life in Artzacha that causes a person to be surrounded with all kinds of klipas. All kinds of klipas. So that requires Havdalah. So Baal Shem says, "Mimoladcha, so far as lech lecha mi artzacha, mimoladitacha, shuterach oved avadazara sherosh haklipas, v'yesh karcha ov beben." There is that influence that the father has upon the son. K'mo shekosav arayved b'seif yitzira, ki koach habanai bebinyan. The koach of the builder is in the building. The koach of the builders in the building. We were talking about that last week with Noach building the teva. Right, the koach of the banai, the koach of the builder, is in the building. If that's true, what the Baal Shem is saying, that is true, by our possessions, that our possessions are affected by us. Noach has come of a come when it comes to a father and to a mother, the effect that they have upon the child. In other words, the things that we own. Are infused with good and bad that comes from us. Our things. The teva of Noach, the building of the builder. Allah has come of a kama, infinitely more so. When it comes to the parents, the effect that the parents have upon a child. Therefore, there needs to be havdala. Lahafrish ulahavdil haklipis shemitzad ha'av hamoylidai. To separate the klipis means to come mitzad ha'av that come from the parents. Hamoylidai gave birth to him. That's called mimolardecha. Mibes avicha was talking more about the nurturing than the nature, because mibes avicha means the place that you come from. Shahay becharan, mibes avicha shahay becharan, kama shekosuv. Vayomas terech becharon. V'darshu chazal, ad Avram haya charon af shel makom. Charon is a hard name. That place of charon is a loshna of charon af, chazal say. Anger. Charon is charon af shel makom. It means that it was a way of life that angered Hashem. Until Avram Avinu, there was charon af. There was anger, the anger of Hashem in the world. Charon af. So there's the environment that a person comes from, where a person was raised, where a person lives. There's the environment of a person. I've mentioned in the past that when the great tzaddik, the Baal Musar, Reb Chaskel Levenstein, when he was in America for a brief time after the war. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael, but he was in America for a very short time. First, I think, if I'm not mistaken, well, it could be that he didn't go that route, but I think he went from, first he was in the San Francisco, and then he came because he was coming from Japan, from over there, and then he came, there just for a little bit, then he came to New York, and he would speak the rest of his life about how he was still trying to do tshuva from the few days that he spent in America. And then he said I read in the sefer that they were driving him, they were going to a balabas to try to help get some money to build the yeshiva. This could be, he came back at a different time, I don't know, it was when he first came. And they were driving to go to some place to go to a balabas somewhere in Manhattan, and they were, and the way they were passing was Broadway, that area of Midtown. And Reb Chaskel, you know, he sat always with his head down, with his eyes down. He wasn't looking at anything. His head was on the floor of the car, and he started to tell the driver, "You can't, don't go over here. There's no good over here." And that was like, you know, that was in the 1940s, like, that's like, you know, whatever. 1940s. And he would say that he mamish, you know, he had to do tshuva to try to undo what was done by him, by his being in Manhattan, you know. So we think, like Rabbi Levinstein, like, what's the matter? I go every day to Manhattan. It doesn't have any effect upon me. I'm fine, right? I'm fine. I go to Manhattan all the time. And we go to Manhattan and our heads are up, not down. And Reb Chaskel, who was so sensitive, he felt the weight of Artzach. He felt the weight of that place, of Beis Avicha. That place, that there's an environment. The Mishnah says that, Yosef Mekisma says that if they would give me all the money of the world, I would only live in a place that's a Mokum Tayr. So the Chavetz Chaim asked, if you had all the money of the world, you could build a Mokum Tayr, right? You build your own Makom Torah if you have all the money in the world. Any dar al Makom Torah. So Chavetz Chaim said that there are certain places in the world where the klipas are thicker, and it's very, very, very hard to make a Makom Torah in that place. There are places in the world that are like that, where the klipas are unusually thick. Why? What that means? How did it end up at this place that they can build Torah, they can build Jewish communities and yeshivas and mikvahs and so on? And there are the other places where they try very, very hard, and it's gaitnish. There's like a klipa in that place. Why that is, I don't know. But there are places in the world that are thicker than others, that are harder to crack than others. And then you have other places that when you come there, not only, I'm not saying Eretz Yisrael, it's just, of course, it's all Kaddish. I'm saying outside of Eretz, there are other places that when Jews come there, it's relatively easy to set up shop. There are places the Jews came and they tried and they tried and they tried and they couldn't break through. There are klipas that are very thick in those places. So Beis Avicha means the effect that one's environment has upon oneself. Terach, Charon is a place of Charon Af. It's a place that Hashem is angry with. It's a place where people themselves are inclined towards anger and a loss of self-control. That's the meaning of Charon. It's a place of din, of gvura. And Avram is the opposite. Avram is the hamtaka. So first there's the hachna. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Artzcha means Yisoma Gushum. Look at your life. What's wrong with you? To be humble, to admit this, and so on. Umi Merladetecha. And now you're able to start to work on separating between the things that are good and bad and that come to you from how you came to this world, your parents, and so on, being in this world. And then, Umi Beis Avicha. Well, that's still part of Umi Beis Avicha. It's all part of the Birurim and the Havdalah. And Avram is the Bechin of Chesed. Now we're already getting to El Haaretz Asher Araka. So Melad Chan Mibes Avicha really is one Bechina. Avram Bechin is Chesed. Avram Avinu is the Bechin of Chesed. And Avram Avinu is the Bechin of Chesed. Yamtik Adin B'Sharish HaChesed Sheyesh B'Gvur B'Adin Hahu. That the koch of Avraham Avinu is that Avraham Avinu is chesed in such a way that he's able to uncover and to reveal the chesed that's surrounded by the klipas of din and of gvur. He's able to sweeten means something that's not sweet to begin with. We're not talking about something that came into the world sweet. Avraham Avinu didn't come into a sweet world. His home wasn't sweet. His neighborhood wasn't sweet. The world wasn't sweet. He didn't come into a sweet world. He sweetened the world. And the sweetening is something which is the highest, highest thing, because something that l'chadchila is sweet, no. Its energy is of sweetness is not so powerful. But gvura is very strong. And when something was covered with klipas and dinim and gvura and so on, and then the tzaddik sweetens the dinim b'sharishim and the sharish, then he's able to reveal a powerful, powerful sweetness, a powerful holiness. That's the avoda of Hamtaka. That's Avraham Avinu's avoda of Hamtaka. Avraham b'chinas chesed, yamtik hadin b'sharish hachesed sheyesh b'gvura v'adin ahu. He's able to be mamtik. He's able to uncover the sweetness, the shurish of chesed that is hidden in the din, in the gvuris. Kamesha kosa b'malkam acher b'shem merizal ech limtoy kadin b'shurisho. As the Baal Shem Tov writes in a different place, how to sweeten the din, not to run away from it, but to sweeten the din b'shorisho in its root. That's what we've been learning. The inyan of hamtaka means you don't have to run away from it. You're able now to find all that is good and that's pure and that's holy at the root of your behavior, which is kedusha. Once you peel away the klipas, once you separate between the tov and the ra, then you're able to see the tov in that midah. You're able to see that what's sweet and what's good in that midah. Not to run away from it, but to be mamtik it. V'achar hamtoker, az tosik b'chinas haras ha-sha'areka. And through the hamtoker, you're able to grasp that el haras ha-sha'areka, you're able to come to a higher madrega, el haras ha-sha'areka. So it is artzicha, baladcha, beis avicha, and Avram, each and every one of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, each and every one of us has to come to that deeper part of ourselves. As the Svarim say, the Lech Lecha means go and find yourself. Lech Lecha. How does one find one's true self? Lech Lecha means La'atzmacha. Lech Lecha. How does all the Svarim say that? How does one find one's true self? Lech Lecha. How does one find one's true self? The terrace is through Hachna, Havdalah, and Amtacha. Me'artzcha, Miladcha, Mi'beis Avicha. And through that, a person will come, La'arza Sha'areka, will come to that Madrega, the Eretz Ha'Elyoina, which is that Eretz Yisrael of who he is, that higher Madrega of who he really was meant to be. Let's learn the parish a little bit. If you don't mind, I see there's a mug over there by the Svarim. It's not that you don't. Could you take that off of there? But Shkarech doesn't believe me, I'm supposed to. Shkarech. Okay, let's learn the parish a little bit. Okay, so we already saw the Chazal based upon the Pasuk in Malachi. V'yesh l'farish reis b'derech haremez. So in the parish, the second paragraph, Malachim oisis ki'ilim. Malach is the letters ki'ilim, like one who is silent. Remez l'inin ha-shtika, that's a remez to the inin the avayd of shtika. U'mashmoz ha-dvarim hish al ha-rav ha-melamed terli yos chash mal. The remez is that the Rebbe, who's qualified to be a Rebbe, has to be in this avayd of chash mal. Keperish b'chinas chash mal. Ha-mavur b'simen ha-kodim, as we learned in the last simen. Shuchash, which means v'shoyseg tchila b'achna, v'shoyseg tchila b'achna, that he's first silent, in a way of humility, to honestly evaluate his life. Shoyseg tchila b'achna, v'ena peser b'limen ha-Torah, and he doesn't right away start teaching. Ad shekaris o'mal ha-klipas, till mal. Mal means two things. It means mila, to cut away the klipas, and it means to speak. That he's careful to cut away from his life the koyches of tumah. Shalelos eslahem kol achiza umitzias. Not to give any achiza umitzias to the kirchus of Klipa in his life. Rak lachar mikain hu pasech v'dibur, and only afterwards comes mal, after the mila, comes mal of being able to teach Torah, to speak Torah. Lachar mikain hu pasech v'dibur v'divrei Torah mal, ki perusha asheni sham, loshen milul v'dibur, that mal is the loshen of speaking. And oz davke, and then, Torah yivukash mi piyu. Then you could seek Torah from this person's mouth, hamadabra is divrei Torah. It doesn't only mean, it's not only talking about someone who's officially a Rav or a Rebbe. It means somebody who's teaching Torah. And lachas kama v'kama, they were trying to communicate the Torah to our children, to our grandchildren. Do we have to be in this avod of hachno, havdol, and hamtoke? Ki oz, kasher kodmo ledibor d'chias metzias aklipis. When before speaking, before teaching, there's dechias metzias aklipas, there's this pushing away, this separating, this filtering of the klipas and so on. Nichnas keroya toichen anilma, then that Torah that is spoken by such a person, who's kemalach Hashem Tzavok, is ki'ilaim, that reaches, that penetrates deep into the heart, b'leva shameya, u'parav v'rava, and it's able to bear fruit, to have children. Yesh b'dvarim nilmodim teisefes v'hisrabus ruchanis. It adds ruchnias, and the person is affected, is changed by this Torah. There were tzaddikim who were on such a madrega of hachno, havdol hamtoke, of chashmal, that even without saying a word, they were able to transform people. There were tzaddikim who came out, didn't speak. There were tzaddikim like that. Rav Mendel of Orka. That we know of eight Torahs that he said in 40 years. He said eight Torahs. In 40 years, he said eight Torahs. I mean, each one is unbelievable. We have them, Baruch Hashem. But eight Torahs in 40 years. And the Torahs that he said was like, well, two lines, one line. But his olam, it was a chsidus of unbelievable intensity and tshuva and avoida. And they would sit by his table. They were crying. I mentioned Yom Nirayim that I remember as a kid, my father would take me to daven in Satmar, especially we would go on Hashanah Rabbah. And I remember walking in. I'd be there. It was the big Beis Medrash down Rodney Street. It was a big Beis Medrash. At that time, the adults were, like my father, were all survivors. And I remember that the second that the Satmar Rebbe would walk in, and he would look around, he had the talisman, was like this, but you could see his face and see his eyes, and everybody started crying. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. Everybody was crying. That in even being completely silent, he's teaching. Yuvan haperish apnimi, b'tzivu lavra. Now we can understand the pnimius, but Hashem Yisbach, the first thing that Hashem Yisbach said to Avraham Avinu, lech lecha me'aretz chavladcha me'zavicha shi'yisrach me'naklipis b'sholosh b'chinis anal b'siyam na'kodim achno avdol amtokish shabeyam hori rabbeinu zal sham barichu shein k'neged shloish z'ayfan ha'alicha v'yisrach yos lech lecha hamuskarim kan, that correspond to the three levels of leaving, of going away. Aretz chavladcha me'zavicha achno Hachna means go away from Arzacha. The Arzi is the Gashmi, is the being such a Magushim. Look at yourself. So I'm a Magushim. So caught up in physical things and Narishkeit. Magushim. You can't even daven without holding your phone. Understand? The daven, which is an inyan of dveikas b'Hashem, you can't let go of that thing. You can get davening. There's a guy that was I was at a simcha. He said to me, because I didn't have a siddur. You know, you daven by minyanim at a simcha, so I don't have a siddur. So you daven by heart, but it was a Dovra Hashem Ari V'Yishi, so I'm nervous to say that by heart. So I want to see inside. I miss a word or two. I don't want to miss the word. So there was a bocher there that had a little siddur. So I went next to him and I shared the siddur. And there's a guy that came over to said to me, Rabbi Weinberger, he shows me his phone. He says, I don't need any more a siddur. I said to him, you need it more than me. That's what I said to him. If you think you don't need a siddur, you need it more than me. Boy, do you need a siddur. Shows me his phone. His Galaxy 12 or whatever it is. Boy, do you need a siddur. He doesn't need a siddur anymore. I'm not saying that person's a magushim because of that, but that even when it comes to davening, magushim. People take for granted about, you know, now you see everywhere, that in the Beis Medrash there are computers. Now you have to have, in every Beis Medrash now, they have to have outlets. You ever hear when we were growing up that you needed to have outlets in the Beis Medrash? What for? What do you need an outlet in the Beis Medrash? You just need your Gemara, right? What do you need an outlet for? But now every Beis Medrash has to be, you have to have outlets for the guys. Seder, they're using it, they're using the computers. So it's taken for granted now. This is already, I'm not going to go after that. And it's there. You know, to look up things and so on. But I was looking in a sefer yesterday, and I saw it was a sefer that has in it tshuvas from Rav Nevinsal from the old city, and other tzaddikim. And I was looking inside, and I saw the question was asked over there, that they went to speak to Rav Nevinsal and spoke to Rav Chaim Kanievsky about, are you allowed to bring a computer into the Beis Medrash? So in the end, Rav Nevinsal's conclusion was, yes. Because there's an Indian event, and there are certain places, without going into it, in Poskim, about having, there's a whole question, Bechlal, about having an oven in the Beis HaMedrash, but since the Torah, because it's not Bekovedik, right? They used to have in the old Bat HaMedrashim, it was cold. So they would have an oven, and the oven, the shmutz. So, but the reason that it's mutter is why, because there's a toilet, because the people are cold, so you need to heat up the... You need to heat the Beis Medrash. So they had the oven, even though it gets dirty and the smoke, but you heat up the Beis Medrash. So when the computer is used for the toelas of learning and looking up and so on. So in the end it came out there, Nevinsal said that it's mutu. They went to ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky about it, but they asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the way it was asked of him, is that, are you allowed to bring a computer that has internet on it? They didn't ask that from the way it was asked to Rav Nevinsal was, you could have a computer without internet, right? Just a computer without internet. So that's like just having a lot of swarm, in the computer. But they asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you're allowed to have a computer with internet access on it. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, es non zayin. He just said, I don't want to. He said it's like bringing the payment of a zayin of a woman that gets paid for her services, bringing that into the Beis HaMedrash. So make a cheshbon. A person has, Rav Chaim Kanievsky was talking about somebody that takes the computer into the Beis HaMedrash for the sake of learning Torah, but it has in there the access to the internet. And regarding that, Rav Chaim said that it's absolutely forbidden to bring such a thing to the Beis HaMedrash. Now, when we hear a shy like this, we're all thinking right away, of course this is allowed. Come on, Rabbi Kanievsky. Like, what are you getting all worked up about? You see, he's a tzaddik that's far from Arzacha. Mm-hmm. Very far from Arzacha. But we're not far from Arzacha. So to us, it seems like it's a little bit mugzam. take it easy. Nobody's watching the internet here. Which, by the way, that's not always true. And I've had Rebbeim tell me that sometimes they see a boch that he's sitting there in the shiur, supposed to be taking notes, and he sees the boch is smiling a little bit too much during the sugya. And in conversation you find out that he had some other things going on there. Not God forbid something terrible, but whatever, emails, different things that he's checking in the meantime. You never saw somebody during davening with their davening phone looking at other things, like emails or text messages? You never saw something? People looking at text messages during Chazar Sashat? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky knows what he's talking about. As non zayne, he says, bring it to the Beis HaMedrash. It's a certain sensitivity of Arzacha that we're losing. So he says, Hachna comes, Aida Elich was Akis me Arzuch, Kimitsada Arzius, Vachibus, Achim, Achlipus, Nimshach, Venetia, Bodem, Gazas, Aruach, Gaiva, me, building oneself up. The Kach is here, the next page. Lechom, Arzuch, Lishrachik, Men Arzius, was like his Baltim, and Gazas, Aruach, Vyoval Achna, then you can come to Achna, and to Shiflus, to humility, Lacham, he came, Omi Maladatucham, my leader shall have Rom, Uterach, Ovid of the Zora, Klipus, Koyach of Bebain. The influence that a father has over their child, a parent has over a child, how this child came to the world. Avraham Avinu had to contend with the tumah of where he came from. He came from Terach. He's a big tumah. The builder has an influence over the building. It affects the building. The architect is thinking over and over and over in his brain. He's thinking about how to build this building, what it's going to look like. So those machshavas are very much affected by the type of a person who the architect is, who the builder is. The building is affected by the architect. He put a lot of his thoughts into that building. And they're in the building. His thoughts are in the building. Therefore, there needs to be a havdola by the son. The klipas that he has, mitzad where he comes from. Meaning his how he was born. That's lech lecha, that's going away from the moledes. Mi molad techa. And afterwards, till Avram Avinu, there was this anger of Hashem with the world. Avram bitlos acharon af shahev yomei terach. Now Avram Avinu was mevatel. He was the one that was able to. He was able to take away the charoin af, the gvuris, the gvura. Charoin anger means gvura, the dinim that was in the world at the time of Terach. There was tremendous dinim in the world. The world had fallen deeply, deeply into avodah zarah, into all kinds of bad stuff. And Avraham Avinu was the one that took away the charoin af. He was mamtik the charoin af. He was mamtik. He sweetened the anger, the dinim. Peirush advar mazamin shacharin hu dinu gvura. Charon means the concealment of Elokus, the concealment of godliness. Avram is the bechina of Chesed. Gilui shel ha'or Elokus. Avinu is the opposite of Charon. Avram Avinu means revealing Elokus in the world. It's just the opposite of Charon. Avram Avinu is the opposite of Charon. Gilui shel ha'or Elokus. Yamtik is a din. That Avram Avinu was mamtik the din. To transform all that was bad, after taking away the klipas, he's able to take all that was bad and he's able to make it good. That's why you see that it's an amazing thing that in that place of Charon, Avraham Avinu is bringing everybody back to Hashem. They're making a whole revolution over there. In the place of Charon, they're making a revolution. In that place. You have Hasidim that they go to these places like Nepal, you know, and they have a Seder with 1,000 people. I was reading before Pesach. There's some Chabadskas that have a Seder over these places. These places are, I don't know, Nepal, you know, one of those places. It's Mam is saturated with Avodah Zarah. Like, these are places that are Avodah Zarah, the whole thing is Avodah Zarah. Mamish, Terach territory, Mamish. Mm-hmm. And these guys are making, these couples, guys, these families are making a Seder there for 1,000 people. They have these Israelis that go hiking there, mountain climbing, and these Yidden, they come over there, they're looking. I was talking to a Yid, that he's a wonderful, wonderful fellow that he went to yeshiva, but he's very much off now from where he was. He's not keeping mitzvahs anymore. But he's filled with a desire to come back. And he told me that he was, he told me about his trip, this trip that he took to the West. And there was Montana, there was some Chabad in Montana. Okay, you know, Montana is also, it's not Avodah Zarah, but I guess that's where Elizabeth Warren's family comes from. That's where Native Americans mostly. So over there you have this Chabad, and they made their sukkahs for the, there were Jews that were there also, like hikers and backpacking. And this Chabad, they made a sukkahs there. He said such a sukkahs. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But there are places in the world. There are places of Charan, and then the Tzaddik comes there, and he's Mamtik, he sweetens the everything.
And the Rebbe knew who to send where, you know?
Yeah. Because Shor Shachesh is Yesh Begur Vadinahu. Because of course, the essence of everything is chesed v'toiv. By getting to the inner hidden good, that's the shorish of chesed. It's hidden in the gvura. How feches is that once you get to that inner deep chesed, after wading through and separating away the klipas and so on. Then you're able to make this hamtoker, which ha'ifeches is hadover kulo mira l'toiv. Now you can transform. You can be mamtik the dinim and transform the ra into toiv. Commission is bar b'semen akodim is avashlav ashlisha nikra hamtoker. That's called the sweetening. Shu kineged ha'alicha v'srachkus mi beis avicha. That's the hamtoker. And then v'achra hamtoker as tosig b'chinas what? Then you're able to come to that place that's called Eretz Yisrael ha'aretz asher areka, to the land that I will show you, Gilui Bechina El Yonah. Then you're able to recognize and to see and to connect to that Bechina El Yonah of being in a place and living a life of Kedusha. Okay.
Is that the origin originally of Nah, Havdol, and Havtaka? Or that's a concept in Chassidus that we're applying here?
No, this is where it comes from. I mean, he never wrote the Sefer Kesher Shev. These are all, you know, it's found in the Toldos, but that's where it comes. That's the place. This is where it comes from.